You can rise to your feet and stretch your legs in a moment, but as we read God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 4, but Amy, I thank you for those words. I think it's time we open God's Word right now. We look at something. Appreciate the testimonies today. I appreciate the music. But what we've heard is pointed straight to this verse of Scripture, and we need to study it. If you found your place in 1 Peter chapter 4, just go ahead and rise to your feet, please. I want to ask you to have a sensitive and open heart and consider the fact that that there's things in our lives that need to be addressed. And don't run from it. Don't run from it. That's what we always do. I had planned all week long and had made arrangements, actually, to go a totally different route this morning. But I woke up, and I don't know that I have ever had the Lord so impress a different direction upon my heart as He did this morning. I want to do our best to be very obedient to it. And I have sat here in amazement as I've heard the testimonies of everyone, and I don't want to name them because I'll forget someone, ending up just now with what we just heard that has pointed straight to this truth. I want us to get this in our hearts today and have our lives changed. Yeah. Verse number 17, 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, I want you to listen to this. You see, that's where most of us quit reading. We stop right there. And we'll look at that. But judgment must begin at the house of God. But it's the next part that ought to just burden us, which is what we just heard testified about. And if it first begin at us, look at this question. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Does that bother anybody at all? Does it convict anybody at all? Everything, I've told nobody. Joel, I've asked you to sing no music today in particular. I've asked nobody to stand up and give a testimony. But it's all pointed right to this. Right to this. For a little while, I want to do my best just to talk to you. I just jotted down a few things in the office here this morning about Judgment Day. About Judgment Day. Father, help us now. God, so guide our lives. Lord, may we not look at clocks. May we not worry about all the stuff. We need help. We know we do. God, don't get a part of my heart today, but get all of it. Deal with us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I woke this morning. I flipped on the news. And if you've done that here recently, then you realize some of the things that's going on, and you need to know what's going on in the world. I know some people ignore it. They say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's depressing. You need to know what's going on in the world. You need to be very well aware of the events, the current events, because they have everything to do with what God is really doing. You know, we come to this time this morning, and we could very easily talk about the anarchy in the streets of 30 American cities that we've seen over the past 4 nights and even last night, and the things that we have seen. And I don't care about opinions of any of that. It doesn't matter. But we could easily talk about that. We could easily talk about this past week. We've surpassed what we are told to be 100,000 people that have died by coronavirus, COVID-19. We could talk about that. We could talk about 40 million people who are currently out of work today because of this situation we're in, this crisis, this mess we're in. We could talk about 40 million people out of work. Whether it be anarchy, whether it be death from the virus, whether it be those that are out of work, they're all very serious. We could talk about homes that are falling apart. We could talk about moms and dads that have just made a choice that I'm just not going to go anymore. I'm done with him, I'm done with her, and we're just going to let what happens, happens with the kids. We could talk about children that are rebelling and running the opposite direction. We could talk about how that we're losing all these different aspects of who God really wants us to be. We could talk about all these things, and we could debate them all, and boy, we could come up all day long with solutions to fix them, couldn't we? Not one of those solutions is going to work except this right here. It all goes back to verse number 17. That judgment must begin at the house of God. You say, that's confusing to me. For you always say that we've got to start all this at home. Well, yeah. But let me assure you that when judgment really begins in God's house, it will spill over into our home. When God starts changing our lives, it's supposed to start right here. It's supposed to start in our hearts, in these seats, in these altars, to hear from heaven. And again, not to shed our tears, but I'm talking about be changed in a way that we walk out of this place, that we make some decisions for the Lord that we absolutely refuse to ever, ever, ever go back on. You see it in my eyes, and I see it in your eyes. Our spouses see it in our eyes. Our children see it in our eyes. They will know that we are serious. They will know that we are not going to compromise on the truths of God. We are going to go forth and we're going to share Christ with a world that is lost and a world that is dying. You today, this past week, since we met last week, how many of us have gone out of our way to share Christ with somebody? Now, don't raise your hands. But have you done it? Now, let me tell you the problem we've got. 2 weeks ago, in your heart, you know the answer to that. 2 weeks ago, I talked about us shining for the Lord. Shine, Jesus, shine. You remember that? Remember how we talked about that? I wonder, in that previous week, the week following that, how many of us really went out and, I mean, we told somebody about Christ. We pointed them straight to Jesus. We drug them to church with us the next day, the next time we came back. We came back and we talked this past Sunday about that final thought on crisis in America. And we talked about how we cannot let a crisis go to waste. And we ended up by considering how that we believe God is trying to do something and how that He has stoked the fires of revival in other places 80 years ago. Perhaps to get our attention today. How God is longing in heaven to do something. But yet, how many of us really went out and attempted it? Is it 2 straight weeks now that we have fallen flat on our face? We're not being affected with things beyond emotion. We got to be changed. This verse of Scripture reveals a few things to us. Peter, in this whole area of Scripture, and I'm not going to get into all this, he's dealing with a lot of different things. He's dealing with the suffering of some believers. I was going to be in chapter 2 of 1 Peter this morning, was my plan. Maybe next week. He's dealing with a lot of things, and I want to rattle off a few thoughts to you here, and I encourage you to write them down. We talk about this matter of how judgment must begin at the house of God. Let's break it down and think first of all about the promise or the problem of this judgment. The problem of this judgment? What has brought us to the place where we need to have everything changed? Why are we in this spot that we are in today? What is it? Well, first of all, think about it. It goes back to the sin. I heard somebody say it. It goes back to the sin. It goes back to the sin. Of course, we can take that all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We can take it back, and oh, we love to blame Eve, don't we? And then, you know, the blame game began at that point about the fruit. We love to blame it on somebody else, but that was the moment that sin was born into this world. That Adamic nature, our original ancestors, Adam and Eve, was then passed on. Cain, Abel, straight on down the line. It was passed all the way to January the 30th, 1978, when I was born at Riverfront Hospital in Newport News, Virginia. I was born with a sin nature. You put your name there, your date there, you were born with a sin nature. The reason that we must have judgment beginning at the house of God, it all goes back to sin. May God help us to quit living this life that is so super spiritual, this life that is so polished, this life where we're trying to let this world out there think that we are all perfect and we've got it all figured out. We are filthy, wretched, rotten, good for nothing, hell deserving people. Sin got into our lives. I have gotten so tired of this attitude. So tired of this. About how that we're better than anybody else. I know who I am. I know what I deserve. I am not better at all. I'm different than I once was. There is a difference in the two. I'm not better, but I'm different. I tell you, when God got a hold of my life a few years ago, He started changing my life. And I'm different. And people who may not like that, oh, they love to say, oh, you've changed, you think you're better than anybody else. No, God has done a work in my life. And many times some people are just upset because God's working in your life while everybody else may be left behind. I thank God for what He's done in my life. I know what I deserve. I know where I deserve to be. I get it all. I understand every bit of that. Thanks be to God for what He's done for me. How He's dealt with me and how He's daily changing me. Conforming me to His dear Son, Paul said. Day by day. But it all goes back to sin that is destroying a world, destroying a nation, destroying homes. Sin. That's where the problem lies. But then we talk about this matter of sin, the problem that there is of judgment, a matter of sin. But why should there be a surprise when we see things happening that we're seeing happening? We addressed this last week. I flipped on the TV this morning and good night, it was one story right after another. I just sat there and shook my head like, really? Is this really where we're at? Yes, this is really where we're at. It goes back to sin. Why in the world, though, should we be surprised by the things that we're seeing? I'm not going to go down the list again. I just gave us a drop in the bucket of some of the things last week that we talked about that God is judging His people, or likely is judging a world and a nation. It goes back to sin. But yet here we are when it happens right in front of us and we act so surprised by it. Do we really believe that God is not serious? Is He lying to us when He talks about how He will judge sin? He will deal with sin? This word judgment that we see in 1 Peter, the word is actually meaning it a response to an action. A response to an action. Condemnation is what it's talking about. And we'll see in a second how that all that is to happen here. Here we are today, we're surprised by anarchy in the streets. We're surprised by death of individuals in the streets by the hands of people that shouldn't do it. We're surprised by 100,000 people dead by a pandemic. We're surprised by unemployment. We're surprised by homes falling apart. We're surprised by pornography everywhere. We are surprised by all this drunkenness. Why are we surprised? Over the past 50 years, the church has lost it. We've lost it. We got problems in our church, not with the organization of our church. I'm talking about we got problems because we got people in our churches. Me. We got problems in this church because I'm in this church. Because you're in this church. We're just corrupt, foul, messed up people. Peter is seeing that. And he says it's got to stop. He identifies the problem. Quit being so surprised by it. Sin is what the cause of this is. Quit trying to paint over it. Quit trying to just make it look good. Sin is what the problem is. He tells us about the problem. Then he talks about the place of judgment as well. The place of judgment. Did you know there's only one place where God said it can all get fixed? It's in the house of God. But yet today we've got preachers that are standing and refuse to deal with matters. Churches that are full of people going through the motions. No move of God, no conviction of God anymore. I think about the place of judgment, the problem of judgment, but the place of judgment. And when we think about that, we got to think about the property. The property. When we see those words in verse number 17, the house of God, that is not talking about the bride of Christ, the church as a whole. All of us as believers. No. It is talking about one specific place. Amen. Talking about the house of worship. Now there is a place to talk about the bride of Christ and how we as the body and the bride of Christ, the church as a whole, need to repent in here. Of course, I understand that, but in this, it is referring to a particular place, a place set aside to meet God. A place set aside for that condemnation, that judgment to fall, where we will have the result of the actions, in this case, our sin, that we're going to have to pay the price for. We're going to have to deal with, basically, is what he's telling us here. This is the place where it is to be dealt with. This is the property where it is to be dealt with. We get tired of falling down on our faces before the Lord at the beginning of every service. You know why we did that? We've done that now for nearly 7 years. The very first Sunday we met here together, that was something that we instituted, the very first thing that we did, because you and I need to get right with God before the service even begins. Isn't it time to run around out back? Isn't it time to run to the bathroom? It's a time to get right with God. And this has become such an intimidating place to so many of us. It's a place to pray. It's a place to pray. And you think, oh, I don't want to pray. I don't want to get down on my knees in my seat or here because what are everybody else going to think about me? Look, I put myself right there. The best thing I can do is get down on my face before God. God, I'm a failure. I've messed everything up. I need you to judge my heart here. Search my heart. Get me right. This is the place where it is to be done. He says the house of God. It's great to do it at home. It's great to do it out in the woods. It's great to do it in your car. It's great to do it in your office. It's great to stay right with God and to get right with God. But this is the place where we've got to get right. We can't have a service until we've gotten right. God can't move until we've gotten right. Talks about the place of this judgment, the property specifically, but then there's the priority of it as well. Now I want you to look carefully at the construction of the verse number 17. Look at this, for the time is what? The time has come. You know what Peter is saying? Yesterday is gone and tomorrow doesn't matter. The time has come. that judgment must begin at the house of God. Those of us who walked in here today saying, I'm going to get right with God tonight when Ralph Sexton's here. I'm going to get God right with God Wednesday night when maybe there's a little bit less formality that's here. I'm going to let God deal with my heart. I'll address my family issues, my sin issues, all of this stuff. I'll do it later. I'll do it next Sunday. No. God said the time is now that we must get right with God. That condemnation on our life, that judgment may fall upon us that we are examining ourselves. That judgment must begin right now. Those of us who have every intention of walking out this door today and not making a change at all in our life, God help us. We are in open violation to the truth of God's Word. He said, it must begin. It must come now. Today. Who do we think we are to get up and walk out of here? Say, I don't need God. God will give me another chance to come back and get my life right. Worse than that, who do we think we are that we don't need to get right? This is a problem in our day. Everybody else is the problem. I'm the victim. No. We are the problem. God said now is the time to get right with me. This is the place of it. The exact property. We're in the right place right now. We are in the present right now to try to deal with the problem that we have. Sin. Do away with the surprise of it all. The problem of judgment. The place of judgment. Then there is the people of judgment that the Scripture tells us about. The people of judgment. When we look at the words, the house of God that is given to us in the Scripture, that is making a direct reference to who is to come to the house of God. Sure, the sinner is. We welcome that. We're glad for that. But he's speaking of the believer here. God doesn't expect beyond salvation, God doesn't expect a lost world out there to get right with Him. They got to get saved first. The problem lies with the people that are in here. Say, I love you, Brother John. Thank you, thank you. I know that I just alluded to this, but folks, we cannot look to our right and to our left to say, there's the problem, there's the problem, there's the problem, there's the problem. I tell you what, if you had a mirror you could hold up right now, stop right there. Stop right there. The very fact that we think that somebody else is the problem is proof that it is us. We got to realize that we are the people that are the problem. And individual people, it is us. He's referring to the believer here, the saint of God of whom Peter is writing to. I want you to think about with me the concern of the people. Where's the concern anymore? Why aren't we concerned anymore about what Amy was just saying a minute ago and what in our minds we all believe, but in our hearts we do not prove? People are everywhere and they're dying. They're all around us. They're going to hell. Where is our concern anymore? Why do we have to be so rebellious? Why can we not just submit to what the Lord has? Why can we not have a burden for this world that's dying? This world that is lost. Where is it? Where is the burden? We come half-heartedly to church when we come. We come running in late. We do to God's church what we would never do to our jobs. what we would never do to our families or children. What we would never do to some of our close friends, but we treat God as if He's at the bottom of the list of everything. There's no concern. We wake up on Sunday morning. We turn on filthy television. Our minds get filled with a bunch of junk. God's nowhere near. It gets in our minds. We get in our car. We go to fussing and fighting with the wife, the husband, the kids. We get out and we walk into the church thinking that it's not going to matter that we bring all that trash into the holy house of God. Brother Farley, you're thinking you're studying Old Testament truth with the tabernacle and everything and the places of worship? We would all be dead if we dared come into the house of God the way that we do today. God would kill us on the spot because of the filth. Somebody would walk in here and they would find however many people, corpses. That was at church. Because we dare to try to defile the house of God. There's no concern. We don't care that somebody across the street from this church is heartbeats from hell. The family member that you know and you say you love, but yet you're going to let them go to hell. There's got to come a point where we stop rebelling. There's got to come a point where we stop being so complacent. And we understand that if we don't get this thing right, God's going to take us out of this life. He will not let one of His children smear His name through the mud and get away with it. He will not do it. I may have told you before, His name was Glenn Braun. His wife worked for me for years. Years and years. Glenn Braun and his family were doing so well. They had been saved. They had grown up in a Christian home, a family home that loved the Lord. Good people loved the Lord. Glenn got away from God. He was a business owner in Rossville, repair shop. Got away from the Lord. Oh, it burdened Christine. She was such a dear lady. She loved her husband. But it burdened Christine to no end that she was in this situation that she never thought she would see her husband, who was once so much on fire for God, drift away the way that he did. I mean, he got so far away from the Lord that he was doing things you could have never imagined. They separated. 3 or 4 kids, I don't remember. They separated, and one day news came just a few years ago. Glenn had, I believe it was pancreatic cancer. Cancer of some form. The preacher went to visit Glenn. Glenn, won't you get right with God? Glenn was a saved man, okay? Glenn, won't you get right with God? No. Preacher, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get past this. I'm going to beat cancer. Then I'm going to get my life back on track. You're never going to beat cancer like that. Continued to progress. Glenn was laid on his deathbed, I believe in Memorial Hospital. Once again, that pastor. The story was told at Glenn's funeral. That pastor, Ricky Gravely, walked into that room. The last bit of strength that Glenn had in his body. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to die today. I'm going to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven." I think he was 48 or so years old. "I know I'm going to go to heaven," he was saying. "I know that I'm saved." But with the last bit of strength he has, he says, I'm dying out of the will of God. He said, I'm dying. And I didn't have to die this soon. He's saying, God's taking me out. Glenn sat there on his deathbed. He said, I know why I'm dying right now. It's not because sin. I've never accepted Christ, and I've never had the sin of my life paid for. I did that. But I'm dying because I kept dragging God through the mud. I'm dying because I took Him for granted. And He was laying on His deathbed that day, and this is being told at His funeral. He was dying. And He said, I'll never get up from this bed. I'll never leave this hospital again because I refused to get right with God. It's because He didn't have any concern anymore. I wonder how many of us today could truly fall into that category. We just don't even have any concern anymore. Our hearts have grown so cold. We are so rebellious against the things of God. We're just not interested in it anymore. Friend, I want you to understand, you and I, when we come to that place, we are no different than old Glenn Braun. We are headed to a disgraceful death that it didn't have to be. God is going to take us out if we keep dragging His name through the mud. He will do it. And you mark it down that He may bring a lot of other things into our lives to get our attention before He has to do it. What is God trying to do today to get our attention as individuals to say, you better get right, you better have some concern, you better make sure that judgment begins today in the house of God. The place. The problem, the place. The people, it's us. It's us. We've got to get some concern again. We've got to get a burden again. But it isn't only concern, but there's the consequences we've got to talk about. You look at the latter part of the verse, my heart trembles when I read this. He said, yeah, judgment has got to begin here, but here's why it's got to begin at the house of God. Here's why it's got to begin right now. Look at it. He says, and if it. He says, if. You understand, God gives us a free will. We'll see in just a moment. But He says, if it first. There's the priority again. Begin at us. In other words, if we don't get this right, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What's going to happen if we don't get a concern? What's going to happen if we don't get right? They're going to go to hell. There is a hell. We don't preach on hell enough. There is a hell. There's a heaven to rejoice over, but there is a hell that we've got to be aware of. There are good people who lived good lives. Real people who lived real lives. Who died real deaths and are in a real hell right now. They are there. It's a Bible truth. You read it, Luke 16. You read it all through the Gospels. You see it. Isaiah speaks of it. There's a hell. What's going to happen to these people? Hell was not created for you and I. You understand that, don't you? Hell was created for the devil and all of his demons. And if anybody goes to hell, you're going to be out of place in hell. You're not going to be welcome in hell. You're not going to be with your buddies. You're not going to be with your friends. You're going to go to hell. You're going to burn. You're going to bake. You're going to sizzle for all of eternity. It's going to happen. There's a hell. There's a hell. And these are people out there that are going to inherit hell. And they're going to be there forever. There's a consequence to you and me not getting right with God today. The time has now come that we must get right. Judgment must come to us. We talk about the people and there's got to be some concern. There's got to be the consequence. But we also talked a moment ago about the choice. He said, if we don't do it, man has a choice. Everything about it, man has a choice. We were talking about choice last night, weren't we? God has inherently given man a choice to make, to do right, and to get right with God if we don't do it. Today, right now, is the time for the choice. In eternity, it's not going to matter how many more accounts you got at work. It's not going to matter how much you pad that bank account. It's not going to matter about any of those things. What profit hath a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You and I have got to make a choice. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow the Lord. And it's a decision and a choice that burns deep in our soul that won't change to the day the Lord calls us home. I don't work well with my hands. You all know that. You fellows around here, you do such a great job doing things around the church because you knew if you left it up to me, that deck would literally fall apart. That's not my gift at all. But yesterday I decided to get out and clean my deck. I sprayed the bleach and water on it. I got my neighbor's pressure washer. I did everything right. I ran the hose up on Tazio's second story deck, left the machine down at the bottom, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. I was curious, what's this going to be like? We built that deck about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, I guess, when we built that addition onto the house. And since then, I stained it about 5 years ago. Since then, it hadn't had anything done on it. And you know, 5 years, Kevin, you build up a lot of junk. You build up a lot of stuff on it. Every morning I go out there, if not raining, I try to go out there and pray. And when I walk out some mornings because of what dew there may be, I literally almost slip straight backwards because of all the grime that's so slick on it. I had to do something to it. So I got up there yesterday afternoon and I was cleaning my deck. I put the solution on. And when I started pressure washing that, I was truly amazed at how all that dirt, how all that grime was just washed away. As I stood there with that pressure washer going back and forth over that deck, seeing what was being made almost like brand new, I couldn't help but think, Tyler, about how the blood of Jesus Christ does that very thing for us. I stood there watching plank by plank, singing to myself, "Oh, the blood of Jesus." Some of us today need to find us a spot. Say, "Dear God, wash me. Spray the solution on me. Reveal the rotten parts of the deck of my life and start cleaning." If it'll happen to an old deck after 5 years, imagine what it'll happen to a dirty heart after 42 years, after 90 years, after 70 years, after 8 years. Some of us today need to get clean. And we just need to make a choice to give it all to Him. And say, "I'm not going to leave until judgment has fallen upon me in the house of God. I see the problem. I'm in the place. And I'm the person. I've got to do business with Him if we're ever going to go out here and make a difference in this world." Who's really serious? Stand to your feet. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. We're in God's house. We're in this place. We are the people. We need to start cleaning ourselves. We need to start pouring it on.